Hey, this is Tom Waddle. Thanks for listening to the Waddle and Sylvie podcast brought to you by Miller Lite, the presenting sponsor of the 2020 ESPN 1000 Virtual Fantasy Football Championship. Find out how to be a part of it at ESPNFFC.com.
This is Waddle and Sylvie. Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
I do believe we have some breaking news here.
This is breaking news on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
According to all the White Sox reporters, including our own Chuck Garfine, who just joined us an hour ago, the news is not good for Nick Madrigal, as many people thought. He has separated his left shoulder. Rick Hahn, though, is optimistic that he'll be able to return at the end of this month. He might need surgery in the offseason. So is this similar to what Mitch experienced, Waddle? Where
Mitch's shoulder came out of socket. A separation is basically your AC joint. Your shoulder's never dislocated. Do you know how my AC joint sits up really high, the one that hasn't been cut off?
Right.
That's kind of the AC joint is like, it's a compact injury. That compression goes down and then it snaps back up and it stretches the ligaments.
Right, but like Mitch, it was his left shoulder, so his non-throwing shoulder, so he needed to miss a couple of games to sort of let it heal.
Yeah,
he had surgery in the offseason, and this is what Rick Hahn is saying, that maybe here in 3-4 weeks he could return and have off-season surgery.
Yeah, oh, no doubt about that. I can't imagine being able to swing a bat without feeling immense pain for a couple, 3 weeks.
Chris Bryan has had some, not to this extent, but he's had some issues with his shoulder.
Yeah.
And we knew how that threw off his swing.
I would say this. Again, I'm no doctor. But my guess is you're better off having an AC sprain than having a rotator cuff issue or some of the other things. These are types of things that, this is a football injury for the most part. Like, I didn't see the Madrigal slide. I'm going to try to check it out. Was it a contact? Like, I mean, because usually
it with the ground. It was the bracing of, as he slid into third base, he kind of, as he was sliding, he just happened to jam his wrist. And that's why everyone thought it was a wrist injury yesterday.
Right.
And obviously he, you know, like you said, it was a compound injury as he, you know, his shoulder
jammed
into the ground.
Yeah, that's more of like a football injury. This isn't like a pitcher or someone or even a fielder who has a shoulder injury from throwing the baseball. So my guess is that this is, of all the news you could have gotten, this is better than something else because this is something that should heal itself and not, you know.
Yeah, and
not
we got Chuck's got news too on Edwin Encarnacion. He's listed as day to day with the shoulder injury.
Yeah,
so not terrible there. Tim Anderson also should be back next week. He's going to do the rehab stint in Schaumburg.
Sean Vegas, yeah. There's a lot to do out there. You just hang out, you go to malls. Oh wait, you can't go to malls.
Yeah,
anymore.
No, not now. Not now, Waddle. Don't give them advice.
What was Walter's nightclub that was out there?
Was it
the living room?
No, it was like the Bar of America, the All American Bar, or
something like that. It was at the base of a hotel.
Walter
right?
Payne's All America. What was it? People will know. Call us 332-3776 or tweet me. So Anderson could be back next week, and Encarnacion is day-to-day, separated shoulder for Madrigal. He could return at the end of the month, according to Rick Hahn. Look, the White Sox, though, I mean, we know this. In this COVID year, and it's such a short year, a lot of the season will be survival of the fittest, and the Sox right now are missing their middle defense with Tim Anderson and Nick Madrigal.
Yeah.
They still have a lot of bats and they still have a lot of good, but Carlos Rodon also, did I mention this, that Rick Hahn says that preliminary scans are clean on his shoulder.
That's good news.
And he could rejoin the team in a matter of weeks.
You mentioned the middle infield, Sylvie. Lory Garcia will play short today and bat eighth, and Danny Mendick will man second base, hitting ninth.
He's done so far so good for Lurie, hasn't he? Like last year, he's hit pretty well for Lurie.
He's been very productive.
Made some pretty good plays defensively, I've seen.
I have him on my bench in my fantasy team.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who's winning that? I haven't checked. Like, I forgot to check in yesterday.
If it was a fight, it had been called already.
Who's winning?
Well, I mean, I just call me.
Is it
Tyson.
You?
Call me Tyson. If you
really
want.
Wow, are you, because you do have some good White Sox on your team.
I do.
You have Abreu.
Yes, I have Abreu. I have Robert. Oh. I have
Yoán Moncada.
I've got Moncada.
Wow. The White Sox have been feeling the Tom Waddle Reds version.
And the one guy that I have from the Cubs that has given me a little bit has been Ian Happ. So I've got a total of 120.
Good job by you.
Thank you. I have a 121 points. Sylvie, you currently are in second with 87. Adam Abdallah is right on your heels. He's got 86. And Jeff Meller finds himself temporarily now in last place with 37 total points.
It ain't football, Meller. It ain't football.
It's not even real fantasy baseball either.
Oh, it just diminished him because he's not winning.
Who does a Chicago-only fantasy baseball?
We do.
We do. And he's got a $300 first prize.
We do.
He's still got a lot of baseball left to play.
And by the way, speaking of Chicago baseball, boy, the pot has been stirred with the poll question. I have numerous Cubs and Sox fans fighting with each
That's
other.
That's what you wanted to do.
Over the who has had the better Chicago MLB career, Paul Konerko or Anthony Rizzo. Konerko's got double the amount of home runs. He's got the longer career. As many Cubs fans have pointed out, Rizzo already with still less years as the higher war. And right now, we've had 3,200 votes in a half hour, Waddle. 3,200 votes.
Where are we at?
And it's 58.8% with Rizzo, 41.2% Konerko, and it's 100% of the people calling each other homers. So,
and I think the next Twitter poll should be, would you be willing to wrestle somebody to prove your points or someone who felt differently?
Yeah, well, that happens.
Are you willing to fight for your point?
It does every year for Cubs Sox series when we are allowed to have fans. Let's bring in Michael Wilbon. Waddle, he's brought to your guys at Hawk, right?
No doubt. HawkAuto.com. Ford, Chevy, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, Subaru, Cadillac, Mazda, and VW all in one place. HawkAuto.com, where Chicagoland saves big.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody? Guess what today is?
It's Wilbon Day.
Woo-hoo!
Chicago native Michael Wilbon, host of Pardon the Interruption with Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN Chicago.
Oh, he was back to the sports-loving Michael Wilbon last week, watching games. 9-2 for your Cubs, Michael. Are you into the season, and are you excited?
Yeah. I'm excited with the reservation that I don't want to see the Cubs waste some great effort and performances on a season that somehow they decide they have to bail on because of the state of the world and COVID-19. I don't want to see that. I don't want to get emotionally involved to have that happen. But I'm sort of into it now, 9-2. I've watched, let's see, the 11 games, I've watched part or all of 9 of them. And I think like games 2 and 3 were what I really didn't watch. But yeah, I'm into it, and you know, I've people have often heard me say I am not one of those people who either A, like most Cubs fans, doesn't know the White Sox exist, or B, hates them. And the hate usually flows one way; it flows south to north. Not only do I not hate the Southsiders, hate the White Sox. I'm hoping that they win. I've been watching them a little bit. I watched them some against the Brewers the last couple of days. So now they got some days off because they can't play the Cardinals series, right? So 2 days off of the White Sox. And,
no. You mean coming up? Because they've got the Brewers tonight.
Oh, so, okay. So then they don't play. Okay. Maybe this. Okay. I got it wrong. I was thinking they had a series with a little bit with the Cardinals. And obviously, Cubs Cardinals are coming up. So that's just, man. I mean, yeah, it's just exciting time to watch Chicago baseball. And it's too bad. Like, I'm flying, I'm attempting to fly to O'Hare in a few minutes. And come home and do some stuff at Olympia Field and just kind of enjoy a weekend at home. And I don't know how much I'm going to be able to do that with some of the things that are going on there. But that's what I'm attempting to do. And to not be able to go to baseball is just like, it's just weird.
Yeah.
You know, to not be able to go to Wrigley Field and enjoy that.
Overall, Mike, have you been impressed with the quality of play, whether it's Major League Baseball, the NHL, or the NBA overall? Are you pleasantly
really
surprised?
I've been really impressed with the NBA. The quality of play in the NBA has been extraordinary.
Yeah, it has been good.
In the NHL, I watched the Rangers a little bit to see them get eliminated last night, but I've only watched the Blackhawks, so I can't sit here and tell you what the entire league is doing. I've watched both Blackhawk-Edmonton games, and I'm going to watch tonight. Obviously I was thrilled with the Blackhawks winning game one, and certainly with the way they played largely in getting a 3-3 tie in that game before, you know, Edmonton sort of took over. So I it seems like the quality of hockey is at least where you'd expect it to be, and I think at least that. And I'm sure the basketball has surpassed that. I mean, the NBA level of quality of play is just, the intensity of it is wow. And I've told some people in the bubble that I'm stunned by this a little bit. I thought they were going to have, feel their way through. They're not feeling anything. They're going right at it.
No, it's been great.
And that's a good thing.
Yeah.
What about the difference? We were talking about this earlier, Michael, and I know how you like Adam Silver. What the way he deals with his players if they're upset, he's inclusive. He wants to hear, at least publicly, he doesn't scold them. Now, Major League Baseball, some of the teams did not follow the protocols in Major League Baseball. But what about the difference in the way Rob Manfred handles a problem by scolding the players as a group, instead of just taking a step back and at least doing it behind closed doors?
But it's the nature of the relationship. And it way predates Rob Manfred, Sylvie, as you know. I mean, they hate each other. Baseball, labor and management, they hate each other. They find each other loathsome. And the tone is already set. And Rob Manfred, I don't know that he can reverse that. And if he does reverse it, it's going to take the entire tenure. You know, his entire tenure. It's just, it's bad. Like, so what's come up now is the notion of a bubble in the NBA and in Major League Baseball for the playoffs. And to me, that seems doable. For the playoffs, why can't you take a month and be in a bubble? Well, the problem isn't the concept, or I don't even think it's the execution, because we've seen three sports, soccer, basketball, both basketballs, WNBA and NBA, and the NHL execute this. In baseball, they don't want to. They don't want to cooperate. They just want to snarl at each other. And so something that they could really use in the postseason only. I understand they couldn't do a bubble for the entire thing. You can do a bubble for 5 months or whatever it is. But actually, baseball could have done it with 60 games, because their season and postseason could pick up at the same time as basketball in the NHL. But they don't want to do it. They don't want to cooperate. It's not that they don't want to do it. They don't want to cooperate with one another. They want to fight. They want to go brass knuckles, bare-fisted all the time. And it's tiresome. And it hurts the product. It hurts the sport. And so but I'm not going to blame Manfred in his tone. He's scolding. He is. But the players are contemptuous of management. Look, this has existed, forever. And baseball had the upper hand. Management had the upper hand with the old reserve clause. This has been going on for 100 years. They hate each other. They're destined to hate each other the rest of our lives. I don't see how it's going to be avoided or broken down.
Do you know what, Mike? Which we talked to Jeff Passan yesterday, and Jeff mentioned some things that it wasn't what he said that chapped my ass, but the concept itself. That if you get to, in the Major League Baseball scenario here, where some teams know they're out of it, that players may just decide to go rogue with regard to the health and safety protocol because they know they don't have anything to play for. Like, that is a player. The thought of that pisses me off. That guys potentially, and it hasn't happened yet. It has happened in some instances.
But the notion that you would do that to your own fraternity
members,
man.
Yes, that's my point. That, like, the thought of that, and it hasn't really happened in a large kind of way yet. It really sits wrong with me.
Tommy, I agree with you. I hadn't thought of that. I really hadn't thought of that, because you just got to think that players have too much respect for their fellow players. And I hope he's wrong, knowing that the two sides will do anything to get at each other, even if there's sabotage involved, which is what this is suggesting. And I hope that's not the case, but I'm not going to sit here and act naive and say, oh, I can't imagine that. Yeah, I actually can.
Michael, hang in there. When we come back, I want to ask you about a big news day in the Big Ten for college football and schedules being released and players coming out with some demands, and I want to get your opinion on that. Michael Wilbon joins us every Wednesday, usually at 5. We're a little early as he's flying back to Chicago. More with Wilbon next.
Waddle and Sylvie.
Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Our conversation with Michael Wilbon continues, usually at 5, a little early today. Michael, busy day in college football. UConn canceled. The Big Ten sent out their schedule, but they did say that, look, we just have to plan and things aren't guaranteed. And then the players came out, like the Pac-12 did, players.
Thank you. With
some of the demands. What did you make of the happenings, especially in the Big Ten?
Well, I don't pay much attention to it. I mean, I pay attention to the schedule. You know, I looked and can tell you that, you know, Northwestern has Wisconsin, I think, in an opener. Do I expect the opener to be played, like, anywhere near on time? Do I expect the college football season to come off anywhere near? No, I don't. Do I hope it does? I hope the conditions of the world make it so that that can happen. But am I expecting it? No, I'm not. And you guys know I've been pretty consistent about all these things, all these sports. I don't see how college football can be played. I mean, we're talking about kids who have to go to class. And people, it amazes me when they say, well, they're going to mingle with these kids who could be positive. What? They're going to live with them. They're going to live in the same room and date them and go to class with them and go to parties. And somebody came up yesterday, I saw with a rule. Was it a university or a conference that said, I think it was Texas, you can't have parties when you get back. Really? Really? How stupid is that? College kids aren't going to go to any parties or have any. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. And so the expectations, they're not pros. They're not pros. They don't owe colleges. Colleges owe them. And so it's just the whole thing is just
Mike, what is an equitable ask, in your opinion, from the players? Let's not even talk about the health aspect of it, because right. I think we all agree that, you know, everything, they should do everything humanly possible to create the safest environment. But when it comes to an equitable answer to this very difficult question, it is very complex. This is a multi-billion dollar industry, college football. We saw what the Pac-12 has done. We now see that the Big Ten players have gotten together. Ultimately, in your opinion, what is a fair and equitable resolution to the distribution of some of the wealth that is created by college football?
Well, it's never going to be fair and equitable. I don't think you can get there. I do like the likeness. I like the notion of players controlling their own image to the degree that that can happen. I think that's a starting place. Do I think that's equitable? No. But it's a starting place, and I'm for that. But I noticed, you know, some of these other things that players are asking for. You know, when I read the Players Tribune pieces or wherever I'm seeing this, and, you know, some of these things are fairly, I don't think you can say that coaches and the administrators need to take a massive cut. No, but what they're saying is don't cut sports. Let's try to figure out a way to have the funding for that, considering what has been produced in the past. And we presume will be produced in the future by television rights to bowl games and NCAA tournament, men's basketball, primarily I'm speaking of. So, you know, I don't know that there's equitable. I just don't. But I think that there's a starting place and there's some place where I hope that players would be able to say, okay, we think at least they're doing right by us on some level. And I think the notion that they should sign waivers to say they're not responsible if they contract COVID. What? Sign waivers? That's insane.
What should they? But, like, you were very involved in the collegiate area.
Yes.
I mean, should players be paid?
I don't think you can pay. I don't think you can do that, because then you run into Title IX issues that would preclude that. So I don't think that's reasonable. But compensation in some form, paid, no. But that's why I like the notion of, you know, controlling your own likeness. Mm-hmm. Look, on some campuses, like at Northwestern, that might be the lacrosse player, lacrosse star on the women's lacrosse team, might be. So we don't know what happened in each situation. I think that's fair. If you want to sell a jersey to a rabid alum like me, you should be able to do that. Mm-hmm. So I don't know that you can come out with a pay scale. I don't think that's going to happen reasonably.
Also in football, this on the professional side, Michael, you need to trust your players as much as possible now. That being said, would you sign Antonio Brown?
No. You guys know where I am on this. I told you under no circumstances would I sign him to the Bears. I told you that last year. Nothing's changed. I don't want him. You don't need him. There are other guys who will come in, and if they can't equal his work, they can approximate it. Or I might get two guys to do that. Or I might find that I'd opt for DeAndre Hopkins above Antonio Brown 100 times out of 100. Does it mean he's a better player? No, it doesn't mean that. But it means I'd rather have him on my team. I would not want Antonio Brown on my squad. I wouldn't want him in my locker room. I wouldn't want him representing my club. I wouldn't want to put up with him. I wouldn't want to deal with him. And people just think they say the same things over and over. Well, you know, we know what he is on the field. Yeah, but you know he's – if Mike Tomlin can't deal with him at all, what does that tell you? If Mike Tomlin has to get rid of him, what does that tell you? You don't want him. I wouldn't want him.
Did you see, Adam Abdallah, our great producer, was just alerting me of something that I saw earlier today on Twitter. It was from Pro Football Talk, right, Adam? That the report is that the Raiders told their players that John Gruden had COVID-19 just to see how they would react.
Oh my gosh.
Is that the craziest craziest thing you've ever heard?
Yeah.
Maybe not the craziest, but
it's in the crazy file.
It's really crazy. And do I find it, you know, there's some things that go on in the draft. Remember when people were asking about questions that were asked of players when they were drafted to see how they would react, and they were just unbelievably irresponsible. I'd like to say that I'm shocked. I'm not. This is how business is done. And it's sad. It's sad. I didn't even know that. I hadn't heard this. Where was this? When did this come out?
This was from Pro Football. Was it Pro Football Talk that just reported that, Adam?
Yeah,
I think it was.
I missed it. Yeah. Totally missed it. I'm glad I missed it. It's disgusting.
It sounds like such a John Gruden. Knock on wood if you're with me. Our coach has COVID.
Let's hope it wasn't Gruden's idea.
I don't know. He's kind of out there at times.
We think that was Gruden's idea?
I don't know.
It struck me as being
unnecessary.
Dumb.
Yeah, stupid and unnecessary.
It's so disappointing. It is.
Yeah.
Offensive. It's offensively stupid.
Yeah. Michael, all right, have a safe flight and stay safe in our city, your city as well, obviously.
All right, you guys. Absolutely. And we'll talk to you soon. Sorry I can't just pop in and sit with you in the studio.
Yeah, I know.
But someday we'll get back
one
to it,
day.
Right?
Yes, hopefully.
One day.
Thank you, Michael.
All right, guys. Be well.
Yeah, before everything happened, one of our, you know, last meals at the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Went in a packed restaurant.
That's,
you know,
right.
Like, we're so far away from
and
that
then
right now.
It just went totally sideways.
So the report,
sideways.
The report is originally from Mike Garofalo of the NFL Network, and Raiders players hopped on a Zoom call expecting John Gruden to address them. Only they were met by, I'm sorry, who was their assistant coach who was on the Zoom call instead?
So whatever, like the assistant was there and what?
He said, I got bad news, guys? Yes, they said Coach Gruden has been hospitalized due to COVID-19, which was not true, but they wanted to see how the players would react.
What's the purpose of that?
The idea was that in the most unpredictable NFL season that they're ever going to embark upon, this would help them get in the mindset to be prepared for everything.
Let's win one for Gruden.
I've told you guys what happened at my high school, right? Silly. Have I told you the story of what happened in my high school?
Share that next. Okay. It's a good story, Abdallah. It's a crazy story. Abdallah's got one of the craziest high school sports stories ever on this Gruden front. And also, how about this? Craig Kimbrell's going to speak today, Waddle. So we'll see what he thinks his future is going to be.
Hope he talks better than he pitches.
Waddle and Sylvie.
What is your name, please?
Waddle and Sylvie.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
I'm all for a good prank. You know that, Waddle, but this is stupid. I mean, I don't even know what the point of it is. Mike Garoppolo.
I don't even think it's a prank.
It was like this. Yeah, it wasn't a prank. They wanted to see like how the Raiders would deal with.
This was like some sort of experiment, mental experiment.
Would you get cut if you like laughed?
Yeah,
was Gruden testing the commitment to him?
And I want to hear the story again about, because I don't remember all the details. This was a highly publicized story, but just really quick for those who aren't sure what we're talking about, Mike Garoppolo of the NFL Network is reporting that the Raiders logged into a Zoom meeting expecting John Gruden. Instead, it was an assistant coach, and he announced that, hey, Gruden's been hospitalized with COVID. And according to the report, that the Raiders staff wanted to test how the players would react and to prepare them for this most unpredictable NFL season.
What? Wait. What is the upside there?
There is none.
Like, what's the reaction you're looking for from your players?
Men, when you're on that football field, there are many things that could happen that you're not anticipating.
I'll tell you what.
Yeah, I can't do a Gruden, but like this is just like football guy, you know, football guy who thinks like that football's end all be all. And if I'm hospitalized, you got to go out and still kick somebody's ass. You got to execute on the line. You got to run what the playbook says. I don't care if you lose your brother next to you. You still got to play for the Raiders. Like, it's what's the point of that?
It simulates nothing. It's not on the field. It's simply a Zoom meeting. Like, did he expect, like, Josh Jacobs was going to be, like,
crying?
He was all of a sudden, yeah, he was going to break down and be like, oh, no, the season's over, cancel it.
Let's win one for the, visor.
For the Gruden.
Like, was Derek Carr going to be like, all right, I got this, boys.
Derek Carr probably would have been happy.
Yeah, right?
Move the drill. Let's go. That's what we do in football. We move the drill.
Remember, it's a sport where you go to the combine and somebody asks you a question like, if you were a fruit, what fruit would you be? So, like, to think that this wasn't a distinct possibility, I don't think is giving football's craziness quite enough.
There's a beautiful banana.
Oh, so is that a trick question? Is it a banana? If John Gruden's asking you the question?
I'm not sure.
What fruit would you pick?
If I was a fruit, what fruit would I want to be?
Yeah. If this is
I went out of the room. I mean, it's a nonsensical question.
No, you have to answer.
This guy's, don't draft this guy.
What
do
I want to
be?
What kind of fruit do I want to be?
Kumquat.
That's not a fruit.
It's a terrible
it?
Answer.
It's
yeah.
because, well, no.
You know what I want to be?
A kumquat is rare, and the skills that possess are rare.
Too. Who said it's not a fruit?
No one said it's not a fruit. It's a bad answer.
It's
a bad answer.
I don't even know, coach.
I immediately take this guy off my draft board. He's too smart.
Really?
I was thinking
watermelon because I want to be big and I want to be juicy and I want to be hydrated because
no.
like
Mm-mm.
why?
Mm. I'm a tomato because everybody thinks I'm a vegetable.
Oh, that's
in
a good
reality,
one. That is a good
reality,
you're a fruit.
I'm that these labels.
No, then they think you're too difficult. Then they think you're just
labeled. Yeah, at that point you're right. At that
Lamar
point they
Jackson,
run away from you.
Lamar Jackson was labeled a wide receiver and then he came in and he was like, "No, I'm a quarterback." How about that?
No.
What fruit would you be, Sylvie?
Well, I'm trying to think. Like, if you answer apple, are you too common?
Is a dingleberry a fruit?
And you know, an apple, one bad one can ruin the whole bunch, and they don't want that. So I'm going away from an apple.
I'm just going to say, like I said, I'm going to give you something simple and then look at you and say, this is a stupid question.
I think a banana because you can adapt to any situation.
How does a banana adapt to any situation?
There's a beautiful banana.
They're available year-round. They're good with many different meals, with many different desserts. You could bananas go with anything.
And strawberries and peaches.
All right, so tell the story, Abdallah.
All right, so I tweeted it out and I put it on the people on the Twitch chat for people. So when I was in high school, I had this gym coach.
By the way, I just want everyone to know he told Meller and I at the break he hated gym.
I hated gym class. It was stupid. That's why I went to art school. Athletes, art school kid.
Gym kept me out of calculus class.
Yes, that's how I feel. Gym class was like recess.
If I'm in gym, I'm not in a class that makes my brain hurt.
Hold on. What weird high school were you going to where you were choosing between calculus and gym class? You had to take both in high school.
I understand, right, but it was an escape. If I'm in gym class, I'm not in a math class.
Yes.
So I like gym.
I also like the guy who despised gym class, pursued a career in sports talk radio.
Well, I like talking about it. I don't like doing it.
I hate sports. I just like talking about them.
I like talking about them and gambling on them.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things I like watching that I don't like doing.
Like one. Like what? Give me one. What?
Sports?
Give me another one.
Like mob movies? I'm not going to be in the mob.
Right, jail movies, right.
Yeah, I'm not going to be in the mob. I love Jersey Shore. Was I going to go live on the Jersey Shore? I love The Bachelor. Am I going to be on The Bachelor?
There's a show now that my daughter and my wife are watching every single freaking day that is like a London version of The Bachelor or Bachelorette. I don't know, it's something Love Island. Is that what it's called?
Yeah. Oh, Love Island is insane.
Netflix. It's on Netflix,
it's
right?
Insane.
Hideous. And they like swear. They episodes. Talk dirty. They're just like, it's awful.
Now I'm interested.
It's insane. Big drama in the Bachelor Nation right
now. How
dirty
do they talk?
That.
So dirty.
Anyway, I had this coach. His name was Dale Christensen. He was my gym teacher.
Is he the guy that's fixing Mitch's mechanics?
No. So there was a story. We were all told this story from like older students and stuff that this guy, our gym teacher, was brought back when they reopened Vernon Hills High School. Because when I went to school, they had opened Vernon Hills High School, but it wasn't fully done yet. So all the freshmen from Libertyville went to Vernon Hills. So we were all alone, and they hired a bunch of new teachers and everything. They hired Dale Christensen. And if you go back and you read this article, from 1993, November 25th, 1993, coach resigns after stage shooting.
What?
The ill-advised skit with a starter pistol and phony blood is set up to motivate players. So the story is, a few hours before the championship game on Saturday, so this is when the state championships are being played, they're having like a pep talk in the cafeteria, and a fake fight breaks out between two students. One of them pulls a fake gun shoots the coach, who has fake blood on him. Everybody scatters. People are going nuts. And then he jumps up like 5 minutes later. And he's like, surprise, motivated.
You're not motivated. I'm traumatized.
Surprise, now go win state.
Go play a game. And then my favorite part of the story is there's this whole story about he then resigned. And he was like, this is a mistake and all this kind of thing. Police and prosecutors were weighing disorderly conduct charges. Libertyville lost Saturday 27-14.
It's one of the all-time dumb stories.
What do you think? How is that going to motivate anybody?
And then they brought him back.
Is he still active? Is he still teaching?
No, he was super old when I was in high school, and this was 20-some-odd years ago. So,
what's super old to you?
I mean, he was
52.
50. No.
Look like Wilford Brimley back when they filmed
Cocoon? I don't
think
he's there. There's no way he's there anymore. There's no way. But I could, like, we couldn't believe that this guy faked his own death
that's
to motivate
crazy.
His team.
That's the dumbest idea thing of all time. Like, that's not a motivating anything.
No, it would shake me up for my life.
Right.
If you saw that, even
maybe
if it was
not
fake.
Maybe not for my life, but certainly I wouldn't be able to go out there and play ball.
I mean, I would
be traumatized. I'm a kid. Yes.
They were supposed to play Loyola Academy in the state semifinal playoff.
Is it weird, too, that my thought goes to, like, how elaborate did he get? Did he go to, like, a prop store where the blood was like movie on a movie set level good, or are we talking about ketchup? Like how
it was
elaborate
like a starter
did this
pistol
get?
And I think like a blood capsule that he just popped on himself.
Like, what do you say? You say, look, we're really, really good this year. We've made it this far.
Hey, Coach Tingle, you got any ideas over there about how we should get our guys going?
Is one really, really, really good motivational speech. What should we? The lesson be?
I got it. I'm going to get a starter pistol. You get some blood caplets. In the middle of your speech, I'll come in, I'll be wearing an outfit and a costume, and I'll shoot you, and you'll act like you're dead. All the kids will leave, and then you pop up and act like it was nothing. It was just a joke, and we'll go out and win state.
This way the kids think they're playing for their dead coach. They're playing for me.
No, if the real story should have been he didn't let them know he was alive. Like, I mean, if you really want to motivate them, or you think, exactly. You think that what you're trying to do is say we're going to go win one for coach.
That's what I mean. Like,
well, coach popped up and said, hey, it was just a joke.
Here's the quote. He did not he understood the ramifications of his actions, but he also believes that people in general outside the football team do not understand what he was trying to accomplish.
Yeah. And like this is a much, much smaller level with Gruden. But like, what does Gruden say? Like, okay, it's tough enough with what we're going through and we've got to Zoom stuff. We can't even have contact practice. There's nothing really going on in these camps yet. And Gruden's like, you know what? I really want to get my guys' attention. I really do. We should fake that I'm in the hospital. Like, how are you such a successful coach and come up with this plan?
Yeah, that's weird.
It's unbelievable.
How do you want your players to respond to that? Like, if they don't respond at all, do you take that as a good sign because they're so focused and locked in that even their head coach not appearing for the Zoom meeting because he's got COVID and he's in the hospital that's exactly the mentality you want? Or does that just illustrate to you that your team doesn't care whether you're there or not as the head coach?
The dumbest pranks anyone's ever tried to pull on you or lies. 3-3-2-3-7-7-6.
That's where the players actually take a page out of the coach's playbook and just say collectively, move the drill.
Yeah, right. That's move what he the was drill. Probably looking for. Knowing Gruden, saying that's fine. We don't care if coach is sick. We're about ball.
Yeah, Kevin Olsen. Isn't Kevin Olsen their offensive coordinator, the guy with the slick back hair?
Yeah, we'll play for Olsen.
We're going to go play for Kevin Olsen.
I call that the turkey hole.
Yeah, that's
don't ask me
hole.
Why.
He doesn't know. Crazy. He knows ball, but he's crazy. 3-3-2-3-7.
Kicked our ass last year.
In London, I know. Oh, boy. And the Bears are in camp. We're going to play some Coach Nagy stuff. A lot going on in baseball. We'll reset that. Give you both lineups for tonight's Sox and Cubs games.
By the way, there's somebody not playing tonight that you should know about.
Yeah, is this on the Cubs side a weird lineup that
no,
you're talking
this
about?
This is something that is going to happen in the White Sox game.
Oh, okay. Waddle will pay that off next.
Look for the ComEd lower price sticker at participating retailers near you to save instantly on energy-efficient LED bulbs from the ComEd Energy Efficiency Program. Learn more at comed.com/instantly.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Follow at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87 on Twitter.
That's basically the sound you hear when Craig Kimbrell pitches from Cubs fans.
Yeah.
He explained today what's wrong with him. He explained just moments ago. We're going to play that for you at 5. So about 7 minutes from right now, we're going to play Craig Kimbrell met the media for about 5-7 minutes. We'll play that for you here coming up in just about 7 minutes. Waddle, what news do you have on the baseball front?
For the Milwaukee Brewers, Christian Yelich will not be in the lineup tonight. Now, I know he has struggled mightily and he has looked absolutely befuddled at the plate, but you just never know when a player of his caliber is going to get back on track. That will not happen tonight. He will not be in the lineup.
Is it because of the struggles? Are they giving him a day off?
I don't know. I did not get the details. I just saw he was not in the lineup.
He's been one of the worst players hitting-wise in baseball, which is shocking how good he's been.
Yeah.
The last couple of years of batting title-wise, MVP voting-wise, conspiracy theorists think he doesn't know what pitch is coming anymore. Milwaukee was rumored to be involved in that. There was a Yu Darvish tweet out there. So it's very, very interesting. But he was good on the road, too. He used to just torment the Cubs at Wrigley. So I don't know. I don't know if it's just a guy having a slump off to a slow start and baseball being a really hard game, as we know. Let me give you a couple of lineups. First of all, Nick Madrigal is going to miss the next few weeks. He separated his shoulder. Rick Hahn did speak today, though, and he said that he could be back by the end of the month. And then most likely he would have to undergo surgery in the offseason. But like Waddle said, it's a separated shoulder and swinging a bat.
Yeah, and probably not a very – that is not a pain-free exercise with a separated shoulder.
Right. Here's the White Sox lineup as they look for seven in a row. Robert is in center field leading off. Moncada is at third base. Abreu at first. Grandal cleaning up at DH. Aloy in left field. Nomar Mazara in right. James McCann will do the catching tonight. Lurie Garcia is at short. Mendick at second. And Dallas Keuchel is on the mound today for the White Sox. They take on the Brewers again. Just remember, that series moves to the south side and guaranteed rate. And Cubs are playing Kansas City again, but this is in Kansas City for the next couple of days. Chris Bryant leads off. He's at third. Anthony Rizzo at first. Your shortstop is Javi Baez. Contreras is DHing tonight. He's not catching. Schwarber is in left. How about Bodie tonight at second? Hayward in right.
Boy, their defense has been unbelievable so far this year.
It has been, and it's been one of the reasons why their starting pitching's been so good. They've had great defense to back them up.
Even last night, I think, and for the final out, Ryan got a final out with a hard hit ball at Chris Bryant that could have gone into the corner and led to extra innings.
And it wasn't his only good play of the game. You're right. And then remember, that was a formula in 16. They had great pitching and defense. Here's, and this is going to it defensively, Waddle batting eighth today is Nico Hoerner playing center. So Nico Hoerner playing center field tonight, and Caratini will bat ninth and catch.
Did Joe fill out this lineup?
Yu Darvish does the pitching. Remember, Caratini's Darvish's catcher. And, yeah, so we'll see if, I mean, Hap's been really good this year. He's out of the lineup. I don't know if it's just a day off or what. Bodie's been good, too. And like they've, you know, Kipnis and Hoerner have been at second. So a little bit of a different look tonight for the Cubs, who have won five in a row. So that's the baseball news. And then we'll get to what's going on with the Cubs and the closer role. I mean, what do you do with Kimbrel? He spoke today. I don't know if the reason he spoke today is because he didn't speak last night, but he answered some questions, and like a lot of people have been speculating. Is he tipping his pitches? Is he not locating the fastball?
He's talking about his mechanics aren't what they should be.
So let's play that. We'll play that here coming up. There's a lot that we got to do today, Waddle. Also, Mark Gingreco is in today.
Oh, yes.
Isn't he?
Yes.
Talk for a second, because I got to pull something up.
Okay? Oh, excuse me. Are you going to pull your pants up? What are you doing over there? What's going on?
Talk to me for 15 seconds,
okay,
Waddle.
Sylvie's at his house right now doing the show in his underwear.
Well, Sylvie's at his house right now. You're in studio. So normally there would be that nonverbal communication where you look at each other.
Yo, brother, help me out here.
That's fine. I'm with you.
Shuffling through some papers.
I just think that was perfect.
I think it's just funny that you've got to pull something up. Like, what are you doing over there?
You know, he's pulling up a quick thing.
So we're back in 2 minutes. We're going to play you the Craig Kimbrel sound. Back in 2 minutes, thanks to our friend at Legal Ride Share.